Blog Talk Radio.
Beth?
Yeah, Peter.
Okay, I'll just let the theme go for a little bit, and then we'll call you in.
Yeah.
You called in a little early.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, better early.
No problem. At least we got you. Are you on your cell phone?
I'm on my cell phone.
Okay,
and
you're coming in clear. Very clear. Don't worry.
Good.
Okay. We're playing this for Blog Talk. Okay, we're cutting it short there because Blago's trying to cut short his, the governor, former governor of Illinois, is trying to cut short this investigation and prosecution. And Illinois' best political reporter, in my opinion, I've known him for now, it's almost 50 years since we were in boarding school together. He was ahead of me in some ways. But we both love history. We're both political animals. And welcome to the program again, Patrick.
It's always a pleasure to be on. I look forward to it.
This is one thing you're on. Pat, what's the, since you're the expert on Illinois politics, which I call real politics, not pansy politics like we have here in California, there's something about punching somebody in the gut and stepping on their toes and twisting their nose that gets their attention. Is that still going on in Illinois?
Illinois and Chicago practices a very goal-oriented form of politics. And
is it in the pocket?
Sometimes the niceties that are allegedly practiced in other places get kind of lost by the wayside. But it's been the tradition here, and the attitude is that if you don't want to play by those rules, or if you don't have the stomach for those rules, then perhaps you should find another line of work.
That pays more.
It is a very rough and tumble form of politics.
It's still going on.
Not for everybody.
What's the update on Governor Blago, or ex-Governor Blago?
Okay. Former Governor Blago is trying to get his trial delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And
federal trial.
Prosecution, yeah. The prosecution is insisting that it go on as scheduled, scheduled to begin next month. Mm-hmm. And, the feds, of course, are contending that if they aren't ready for trial now, if they haven't got their act together now, they really never will be.
He's got it together a different way on TV.
Yeah.
Is it the same U.S. attorney, the one from the carryover from the Bush administration?
I believe it is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And who's the judge? I don't know those judges anymore.
I'm offhand, I don't know who the judge is.
Okay.
But I understand it's an experienced judge,
mm-hmm,
who's handled high-level federal corruption cases in the past.
Yeah. Well,
and I wish I had brought his name with me.
Oh, that's okay. Don't worry. I could look
well
it up.
Known.
Yeah,
yeah,
well, you know, since I worked there years ago. Now, what's the story on, you've got, there's bank failures all over. Incidentally, we didn't do because of the shortage of time. I should have extended this. In 1931, the biggest bank failure in Central Europe, the Credit Onslaught, failed, and that precipitated the financial crisis in Central Europe. But
right.
Banks are closing all over in your state and all over the country. What's the situation with Illinois?
In Illinois, actually, bank failures, bank closings, have tapered off a little bit. I mean, they're still happening, but they're not happening to quite the degree that they were before. And many of these bank failures have a lot to do with poor management on the part of the banks. I mean, I remember, now Park National Bank, as you know, was one of those that went under. Park National Bank was headed about 20 years ago by my father-in-law, Bernie Long. And I remember distinctly, he was talking about irresponsible loans back then.
Okay, so that goes back to those housing loans.
That goes back to the 60s and 70s.
Oh, it's even earlier. Okay, the
and even earlier. But I mean, I remember him telling me that the whole thing was going to go down like a deck of cards.
Just a little later than he thought, probably.
That was even back then. Well, he was careful not to give any kind of timetables.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely, and remember, here was a guy who was such a good analyst. Before World War II, he was most interested in what they were doing in Germany in order to get that country back on a fairly solid financial footing. And he wasn't in direct communication with Haldemar Schacht.
Okay,
but he was in communication. He was Hitler's banker.
Right.
But he was in communication with some of the top German bankers because the United States, of course, was still trying to get out from under its depression and its bank failures. And he was one of these guys. He would look for ideas and advice anywhere he could find it.
There was also the Chicago banker who was vice president, I think Charles Dawes, P-A-W-E-S.
Charles Dawes.
Yeah. Incidentally, just an aside, today the Israeli Mossad captured Eichmann in Buenos Argentina, and of course we know the trial, and I think it's kind of funny because it has a connection to the Stephen Neri case, which you can go on our website, amicusveritas.org, or YouTube, the news shadow, or Amicus Veritas, we've got to update some stuff. So it's too much to get into right now, but it ties in with the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal or the jettison or deep sixing. What is there any feeling about the military from the military people that you know in Illinois about changing the policy on open homosexuality?
Actually, there's the feeling that it would save everyone a lot of trouble and aggravation. That there have been, a number of very good people who have been discharged, not for anything they've done, but for the fact that they did. Sometimes inadvertently admitted their orientation. And, military types can be very, very practical people. And they recognize the fact that some of the most effective armies of the ancient world were
Alexander, Julius Caesar, Frederick the Great, and of course the Germans.
I'm thinking, for example, of ancient Greece.
Alexander,
an elite group known as the Sacred Band of Thebes. T-H-E-B-S,
oh, right. And the Spartans. And the Spartans.
Was the Spartans. It was all built around that kind of loyalty.
Yeah.
So,
well, there's something to be said, for that. Well, what's interesting is we've had some of these retired officers of the upper ranks have come out in favor of dropping the ban. And the question is, how is it that they survived and rose through the ranks, and that was their persuasion. So it seems to me that, as long as they're not doing anything, just go on and get these wars over with and, keep the morale up in our services, because there's a lot of dissension about this thing. And I get it all the time on the web, and people are talking to me because of the opposition of people who are involved in male prostitution and those publications. It's just horrible, the stuff they put on the web. And you can see for yourself. I mean, it makes Ernest Rome look like an altar boy.
Yeah. Well, one of the beauties of the military is you really have one function and one function alone, and that is to win wars.
Yeah.
Now, your obligation is to do that as quickly and efficiently and bloodlessly as possible. And what you do after you're off duty, really, and this is the feeling of many, is your own business.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Unless you're having your way with the horses, if you're on a cavalry post.
Pat would have something to say about it. Incidentally, Patsy, another aside, and this is dear to your Irish heart, that part of your body. This is the anniversary of the Battle of Fontenoy, and as you know, the wild geese.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about this. You're an expert on the Irish.
Well, the wild geese were Irish lords and noblemen and officers who fled Ireland after the Battle of the Boyne. It was that or stick around and be hanged. And so the wild geese became mercenaries in the French army, the German states. The princelings hired a lot of Irish officers, even the Russians. And, you know, the Russians had a legion composed entirely of Irish and Scots.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that famous general in Peter the Great's army who trained his soldiers. I forgot his name,
yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, for example, Gordon Tech High School in Chicago, you probably remember that.
Catholic school, yeah.
Catholic Boys High School. Gordon Tech, the name sounds Scottish, and indeed it was.
That was the name of the general, as a matter of fact, General Gordon.
Gordon Tech was named after a Polish priest who was a descendant of General Gordon.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I guess
you realize
those Irish get around in more ways than one.
You realize, of course, that the second president of the French Republic after the fall of Napoleon III mm-hmm. in 1871 was a guy by the name of Patrick McMahon.
Oh, yeah, McMahon, yeah.
He was a descendant of the wild geese.
And so was Charles de Gaulle, I understand.
Charles de Gaulle may well have been. Charles de
yeah.
Gaulle apparently has a very, very interesting background.
That's the topic of the Irish. What's the situation with the Roman Catholic Church and these charges of pedophilia and all that, and people, Catholics, who are leaving the church because of this? What's happening?
Well, it's certainly leaving a bad taste in everyone's mouth. I mean,
more
it really is. Yeah, and they have succeeded in doing, particularly in Ireland, but the British Army could not do in 350 years, and that is causing a lot of people to leave the church.
By the way, now I did a series, and you can go to my YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, and see we've had two major scandals here. The head of the NAACP, Amos Brown, his claim to fame was touching the hem of Martin Luther King's garment. He's a really sleazy black minister. He had $250,000 in judgments with just the little girls, and then they had the Ethiopian boy alleged scandal of sexual molestation in his church. Then there were the Presbyterians.
These were the Lost Boys of Ethiopia?
Yeah. And then we had Presbyterians. For 40 years, this guy was molesting Asian boys. And, the Donalina Cameron scandal. You can see it on my website. I've documented it. But are people looking at the other churches and the Jewish rabbis, because there's scandals there too?
Yes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, a lot of that is starting to come out. I mean, nobody is really...
No pun intended.
nobody is really exempt from this. It's hitting everybody.
How about the Boy Scouts? Anything on the Boy Scouts back there? Because we had scandals here.
Well, you know that the Scouts, of course, officially... are very against anything even smacking of being gay.
Mm.
And yet they've had their scandals. And as a matter of fact, it is alleged that the founder
of
Scouts, Lord Baden-Powell,
may have been that way.
Himself of that persuasion.
Well, you know, that's the English vices, they say.
Well, yeah.
Oh, you have, now what's the story the story, is it Mark Kirk, who's got the Republican nomination to run for, what's his name, Obama?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
What,
yeah.
Does he have a chance to, the Republicans have a chance to retake the seat?
Oh, you know, a lot of that happens to be depending on what happens with Giannoulis.
Now, he's
Giannoulis,
Greek ethnic, right?
He's Greek, but Giannoulis, his family had a bank.
Right.
Which was taken over by the feds just a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And the question is how much of this is part of the blame that can be heaped on Giannoulis, or was Giannoulis a minor player in this whole thing? But it is his family's bank. He is being blamed for a lot of this, rightly or wrongly. I think it's anybody's election to win or lose.
Mm-hmm. It's that up in the air. Huh? Now, how about the Tea Party people? Do you have
The Tea Party people are very popular in parts of Illinois. Mm-hmm. They are not too popular in Chicago.
I can imagine.
I mean, they really aren't, because and there are some Chicagoans, in fact, who resent them taking the label Tea Party people,
mm-hmm.
because the first modern Tea Party was started by a person who was anything but an ultra-conservative. Pardon?
This person was
a liberal,
mm-hmm.
And all she was trying to do was get property taxes
mm-hmm.
rolled back so that the middle-class homeowner could afford them.
Mm-hmm.
And she started this. I mean, I can tell you what the genesis of this is, because I was close to it. In 2000, she walked into a community meeting and explained what she was about. And she said her words, which you've heard from the movie earlier, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. Movie Network, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she walked in, she explained what the situation was. And I'm sitting there and I said to myself, lady, I like your style. You're not going to get very far, but I like your style. And you're even a little cute.
And where is she today? Is she still around?
Where is she today? She's selling real estate. She's still the head of an organization known as TREC, which
mm-hmm.
is the Tax Reform Action Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
She did succeed in getting tax relief on a temporary basis. In fact, I was with her in Springfield when we met with a then fairly new state senator from the South Side.
Don't tell me, Mr. O.
I had Barb and I had a 45-minute conversation with Obama
mm-hmm.
about tax reform.
Mm-hmm.
And, if you had told me 6 years ago when this happened,
mm-hmm.
that the man would become president of the United States
mm-hmm.
6 years later, I would have wondered what you were smoking. And
well, there's still people who don't believe, but we won't get into the birthers and that controversy. I mean, you know. Well, you know, we had that problem with Chester Arthur, who was allegedly born in Canada.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. What go ahead.
Which is interesting, because we're one of the few countries which does require that a person be born here
mm-hmm.
in order to be the head of state.
Yeah, they're still fighting over that natural born, that phrase in the Constitution. And
consider, and I'm not saying it should be changed or what,
mm-hmm.
but you have had, all right, the first president of the Republic of Ireland,
mm-hmm.
Eamon de Valera,
right.
who was born in New York City.
I mean, he was grateful he was born in New York City. saved his ass. Excuse my French.
There was in the last Irish elections, there was a woman from Louisiana, an American citizen, who was running for president of that country.
Wow.
The president of Lithuania, the first president of an independent Lithuania, Vytis Adamkus, spent 35 years living in the Chicago area.
Oh, yeah, I think I recall that. He was
head of the Federal Environmental Authority, Environmental Protection Authority.
Wow.
And he was an American citizen at the time, but he ran for president of Lithuania, won, and when he took over, he brought a lot of Americans with him.
Lithuanian ethnicity?
Not all.
Oh, okay.
Not all, but many of them were.
Mm-hmm.
The head of the armed forces was a retired West Point graduate,
wow,
an Army colonel.
And, since we're on that, oh, go ahead, Patrick.
So you
since
got,
we're on that topic, you know, what's the situation with, quote, the, I don't call them immigrants, I call them illegal aliens and migrants.
Right, right.
What's your take on this?
Okay, first place, Chicago is very polarized on this.
Mm-hmm.
It is a hot-button issue here, and, you know, I'm sure that it is not long before this causes a lot of fistfights mm-hmm. and a lot of fissures among best friends, coworkers, and family members.
How is it going down in the black neighborhoods? Because there's traditionally, as you know, this blacks feel that all these other groups are taking jobs that they should have, if I'm
right.
accurate in my assessment.
I don't know. All I mm-hmm. all I know is that for some people, it has become one of these taboo topics of discussion because no one wants to get into a fight that's going to divide families and
right.
Make enemies of old friends.
Well, is Illinois going to do what several of the other states have done after Arizona, in effect, reaffirm federal law, which is not being enforced, and so they're doing something, well, it's basically symbolic.
I don't know. There is a movement afoot to do that, mm-hmm. but I don't know how far it's going to get. But
now,
yes,
Quinn is your governor, right? Is he's running for re-election?
Quinn is governor. He's running for an election in his own right.
Okay.
He became
oh, you're
governor.
Right.
Because after Blagojevich was impeached, he was the lieutenant governor,
right.
and he automatically took that spot.
What's his prospects right now?
His prospects are probably pretty good,
mm-hmm.
because the Republican who is running for that seat is not a strong candidate.
Okay.
In fact, he's a darling of the Tea Party people.
Okay.
But, beyond that, we've had some pretty credible Republicans in this state that haven't done a bad job and that were very electable.
Mm-hmm.
They just seem to be having a problem of late finding candidates that are electable.
Well, the way politics is, Pelosi talks about the swamp and she forgot she's in the middle of it. We're trying to get rid of her, but this is interesting. I don't know if you know this. The media hasn't carried it, but the most money from independent candidates is coming into the two Republicans who are running against Pelosi, but we've got the numbers against us because it's all the vote fraud that makes, you know, the only way we're going to get rid of her is to do what they did with Uncle Joe Cannon and who is that, Carl Albert, you know, Fannie Fox and all that, a scandal. And there's plenty there, but because she's a woman, she's untouchable right now. But,
but that can change pretty quickly.
Yeah. What happened to Miriam Santos?
Miriam Santos did some time, and I think she's trying to get her law license back.
She was the treasurer of Cook County, or what?
She was the city treasurer. And, basically a really, really nice person most of the time. I knew her somewhat,
mm-hmm.
and a nice person, but she just overreached herself
in more ways than one.
which often happens.
By the way, you seem to have quite a few graduates of in a federal prison. What's going on with George Ryan?
Oh, George Ryan is, well, they're trying to get an early release for him.
Okay, so he's given up on appeals?
Yeah. See, his wife, Laura Lynn, is gravely ill.
Mm.
And they would like to get him released so that, he can spend time with her before she passes away.
Right.
Which is only a matter
compassionate
of
release,
time.
I think they call it. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What's happening with Richard II?
Well, Richard II has come under more fire for a lot of things.
Richard Daley,
no
we're
longer,
talking about.
Yeah. He's no longer the golden boy
mm-hmm.
that he was, made out to be for a long time. City workers hate him because of forced furloughs.
Oh, right. Well, everybody's got them, so.
Yeah, everyone's,
Is there any move for term limits? Because we have term limits, thank God, here in San Francisco, yeah. but not.
Well, you know, there's an argument mm-hmm. for and against term limits,
mm-hmm.
and quite frankly, a lot of us feel that we already have term limits. They're called elections.
Well, if they're honest, that's the problem.
Well, if they're, yeah, but I mean to limit a person, because we've had very good people
mm-hmm.
who should have been given another term,
mm-hmm.
but did not because. I mean, the president has a term, two-term
right.
Limit, and hang on, I'm just stepping out here. The president is limited to two terms. That wasn't always the case,
mm-hmm.
But the first time term limits became an issue, really, was in the early 1900s when Teddy Roosevelt,
oh, right.
which you know
right.
became president, after the assassination of President McKinley,
mm-hmm.
When Teddy Roosevelt said that he was going to, after he had won his first term in his own right,
mm-hmm.
he said that this was going to be his last term, something he instantly regretted saying.
Right. He's regretted a lot.
He had committed himself. And not only did he not like the idea of William Howard Taft in the White House, even though he had picked Taft,
right.
he was disappointed. But also, he was a president who genuinely loved the job.
Oh, yeah. Well, Taft really wanted to be Chief Justice, and that's what he finally got.
Yeah.
He always said
yeah.
that. I don't
and, you know, it's been said that he should have been made Chief Justice, you know, about 15 years earlier.
Right, yeah.
And that way he wouldn't have become president,
mm-hmm.
and everybody would have been happy.
Incidentally, today is the birthday of a guy named Charles Fairbank, who was in 1852 the VP. What was was that Buchanan's administration or one before? I forgot.
Well, that would be Franklin Pierce.
Oh, yeah, Franklin Pierce, the handsome
yeah.
Frank, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, one of the most handsome men in the presidency when I did my research. Incidentally,
yeah,
he's talking about Cameron.
Not exactly a heavyweight.
He's what I call an incandescent intellect. No, he wasn't. Incidentally, they're talking about David Cameron as being the youngest prime minister. I don't think that coalition is going to last. That's my view. But anyway, there's a guy who, at the age of 24, William Pitt the Younger, became prime minister
back in the mid 1700s.
Right. Yeah. So
yeah.
I just thought we'd stick in that little bit of history because we didn't have that much time. I may extend this program. Also today, I think it's unfortunate. It's the birthday of Henry Morgenthau Sr. And I just learned from an intelligence source that Henry Morgenthau may have slipped atomic energy information to the Soviets.
Oh, really?
You know about
really?
That?
No,
that's
I
what
don't.
I hear. Let me check on it some more. I know he wanted Germany to become a pasture land. You know, he was, you know, this is interesting. His son is 90-something, is still the district attorney of New York, or one of the boroughs, Robert
oh, really?
Morgenthau Jr.
Okay.
You know? But,
and he's still actively in that position?
I think so. I'll Google it and find out, you know. But
okay.
he was there like a lifetime, and that's one of the reasons why I think we should have term limits. I mean, you know, it's time to, you know, it gets a little stale, you know what I mean. Move on, do something else. But nobody's indispensable. That's my view,
yeah.
you know.
Well,
son's gonna,
you know,
go ahead, Ben.
Tell that to Louis the 14th.
Yeah, Louis the 14th.
Who reigned from 1648 to 1714.
Right, him
the
Franz
longest
Joseph.
Reigning monarch
yeah,
in European
him,
history.
Him, Franz Joseph, and Catherine the Great, and Victoria.
Yeah.
You know, all,
yeah.
All
well, Victoria people. Was the longest reigning English monarch.
Right.
And following close behind her is going to be Elizabeth II.
Yeah. We've got a few seconds to go. But, Pat, let's do this again. We'll coordinate a little earlier. I had some things to do today. So we're going to end with the most appropriate song for Chicago and a lot of politics. Thank you. Politics and poker.
Okay.
This can be downloaded on your iPod, so I'll keep it up there. Okay, Pat?
Okay. Yeah, talk to you later.
And the one you did earlier is up there.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Pat.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
This is Peter Paul Brzova. Thank you for listening, and it's up on our Blog Talk archive. And go to our YouTube at Amicus Veritas. Thank you for listening. Okay. Okay, yeah, we just call politics and poker. What do you think? I don't know.